The marks of a disciple. I'll give you three verses. I'm going to give you more than that, but three for sure. John 8, 31, 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The disciple is a person who puts into practice the teachings of his teacher. He imbibes in the spirit of his teacher. John the Baptist had some disciples. These particular disciples described in John 8, 31, 32 were unusual type disciples. They were disciples indeed. They were not disciples just in name only. They were disciples who had no intentions of turning back. They were disciples who were in it for the long haul. They were disciples for life. As you study the life of the 12 or the 11, you find quite often that death comes into the picture. You remember James and John, who wanted the right and left-hand seat in the kingdom of God. And then the other 10 were jealous because they had got in first and maybe the Lord was going to give them the right and left-hand seat. But the Lord Jesus said, No, I can't give you the right and left-hand seat. That's not for me to say. Those for whom it is prepared shall get it. But can you be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said, Yes, sir, we can. The word baptism means completely immersed, involved with, complete. In New Zealand, they have a game of rugby. It's 60 minutes. They don't have uniforms other than shorts and shoes and bareheaded. And it's just, you know, muscle against muscle and blood against blood and gristle against gristle. And once you come out, well, you don't go back in because they don't have substitutes. And they have a test match. That's where the best ones, like we'd call it all-stars. And you've seen rugby probably on television, or maybe you've seen in America. Well, this young man had played a game, and they had just beat him all over the lot, all over the field. He really was beat up, but he played a good game, and the announcer says he's been baptized into test match rugby. That's what it meant. All right, James and John, he said, can you take it like I can take it? And he says another thing. He says, can you drink of the cup that I drink of, the cup? You remember, was it Socrates, one of those chaps, you know, that in the olden days to put him to death, they gave him the cup of poison, see? So you drink of the cup. Jesus said, if this cup, if it's your will, Lord, that this cup, this death, can you die like I'm going to die, boys? They said, yes, sir. Can you suffer like I'm going to suffer? They said, yes, sir. He says, you can, and you will. He told Peter. He said, Peter, when you was young in the latter part of the Gospel of John, you put on your clothes and walked wherever you wanted to go. When you shall be old, another shall gird thee and stretch forth thine hands and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he said this, he said unto him, Follow me. And you notice that none of the fellows ever quibbled or questioned the fact that they were not going to die a martyr's death. That wasn't their problem. They had a pride problem. Peter won't know what's going to happen to John, Lord. He said, that's none of your business. The 10 were afraid that James and John was going to get these deceits, you see. They had a pride problem. They had a ladder climbing problem. They had a protocol problem. But they had no problem regarding that they were going to die. And they all died except the Apostle John, according to history. They were disciples indeed. The certain kind of disciple. Oh, the word disciple is mighty popular these days. But I'm talking about a disciple that's a disciple for the long haul. Disciple is going to be hacking it right on to the bitter end or right on to the sweet end, either one. They were learning with the idea of putting into practice what they were learning. They were learning with the idea of obeying. In Mark 4:24, there's a fantastic verse that you might want to put on your memory work, in your memory. If you have a memorized memory program, then you can put this on your future memory. If you don't have a memory program, you'll be exposed to one this week, and it will help you tremendously. Even if you only memorize one verse a week, you can pick up 50 a year. Been saved 10 years, that'll give you, see, 10, 50, that's a lot of verses, you know. Review them, you know. Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now what he's talking about here is these kind of ears. Of course, you don't have to hear with these kind of ears. Deaf people can hear. If you can have understanding to take in information, take it in. And he says unto them, take heed what ye hear. My bedmate in the hospital over there, my roommate rather, he wanted some background noises. So he had the television on. We call it telly in New Zealand. He had the telly on all the time because he wanted some background noises. He was studying archaeology, but he had to have these background noises. I don't have to have background noises when I study, you know, because I take heed what I hear. I don't let the television be on all day at my house. And when I'm raising disciples, as soon as I get to know them, I say, no, turn off the television. If you're going to listen to it, listen to it. If you're going to look at it, look at it. If you're not going to look at it, turn it off. And the same with the radio. Other than you have some background music that's especially for that, like Bach or Beethoven or hi-fi or some soothing music, but not just background noise for noise, you see. Take heed what you hear. The only kind of rock I like is the rock that the kids sing. I like that kind of rock. Jesus is solid rock. I love that rock. But that's the only kind of rock I like. I don't even like soft rock, see. I like hard rock, the hard rock from Jesus Christ, you see. So I thought I'd put that in. Amazing that Lynn didn't put it in. He was quite good in it. I didn't teach him that. Take heed what you hear, with what measure ye measure. Now this is Bible, folks. This is the truth. This is a measuring cup. With what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you. You say, well, John, I've known that for years. My mama taught me that. Do unto others you have them doing to you. Treat people like you want to be treated. I know. But look, I want to get through on this verse. With what measure ye measure, and to you that hear shall more be given. To you that put it into practice shall more be given. Oftentimes we take our pastor, assistant pastors, and we go to Bible school or go to seminary or theological college, you see. You may or may not learn at theological college because you have to put it into practice before you learn spiritually. To you that hear shall more be given. Put into practice what you know. Then the Lord's got something else for you. You know, double vision, emergency room, something. He's got some lessons for you. Put into practice what you know. To you that hear shall more be given. And believe the Bible. And folks, look, let's don't lie. Let's don't lie. I was talking to a group of Church of God people last night on Midlife Crisis in Oklahoma City. They had a reunion, a young married people's class reunion. And of course, they were talking about how many grandkids they had. So it was a reunion a long time ago. But don't lie. If you eat too much, don't say you don't eat too much. Just don't talk about it. Don't lie. If you look at too much television, don't say, oh, I hardly ever watch television. Oh, just occasionally the news. Now, you ask your wife, and she'll say, that's not true. You look at far too much television. Just don't lie. If you make a practice of not lying, you say, well, John, why can't I go a little bit further and quit sinning? Well, that's a good idea, too. But don't lie. And don't lie to yourself. And you begin to grow. To them that hear shall more be given. Now that's what the Bible said. You see, now this is the kind of disciple he was talking to. He said, I'm talking to a certain kind of disciple. A disciple indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall be freed up. You shall be released. You shall relax. If you begin to put into practice the things that you hear. Then said Jesus, those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Now what does it mean to continue in his word? Well, continue. You have to start, of course, before you continue, don't you? You know, you say this fellow didn't continue the race. Well, obviously he had started, didn't he? Now you start the race by reading your Bible. Don't answer out loud. But do you have a reading plan? That's a rhetorical question. Do you read a verse a day? Chapter a day? When do you read it? In the morning? Noon? Night? When do you read it? Do you have reading a plan? Do you have a study plan? Do you have a quiet time plan? Do you have a time when you get alone with the Lord, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? You say, John, I just don't have time. Don't you? Would you believe, what's the eye doctor's name, ophthalmologist. You know what I told the ophthalmologist? I told him about my schedule. Yeah. He wasn't impressed. I told him about all the things I had to do. I said, I got to preach in Houston, I got to preach in Fayetteville, and I got to preach in Tulsa. I got 2 weeks at Glenair. He didn't even pay one bit of attention to me. He said, you're going to the hospital. Now, you know, sometimes we're going to say, God, I don't have time to die. He said, you don't? You should look at that a long time ago, boy. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, no man hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there's no discharge in that war. Everybody's going to die. You're not going to get out of this world alive. That's right. And I've been doing some thinking. I'm 62 years old. Was only promised 70. Well, you look strong, John. You might be 80. Well, fine. Paul's still living. He's 92. But it's going to get here. It's going to get here. We don't have time sometime for a quiet time. Don't you? You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll get it, boy. You really will. You get it. Sometime, what would you do? What would you do if you did lose your sight, folks? You see, I'd learn Braille. You know, I just praised God this last week. God sent me to school. I hope I can learn my lessons. Because Helen and I have worked on a little plan of memorizing Scripture, and we've memorized some references. Like I can go Isaiah, we say in New Zealand, we say Isaiah. Isaiah 1:18, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. That's 1:19. 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. 1:19. Isaiah 2:20-21. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiest of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be on everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah 5:20-21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So as I was laying there on the hospital bed, couldn't read, or at night, couldn't sleep, I could go through my verses. I praise God one more time for old Doss, who used to stand right up in this pulpit. We made this pulpit for Doss. And he used to lay it on us. I remember when he was 40 years old, and we were young people out in San Francisco. He says, gang, hit it hard when you're young. Because he says, even at 40, I can feel the difference. Little did we know he only had 10 years left. And he laid up verses of Scripture on his heart. That's one reason for memorizing Scripture. The message is on memorizing Scripture. The message is on the marks of a disciple. But you might want to memorize a few verses. Because when you're sick, or when you're crying, or when it's dark, or when you're frightened, the fear I went through last week was not all that different than when I was watching Japanese dive on the Aaron Ward, a submarine that was alongside. It just does things for me that I could do without. You know, just you could see them fall. Fear. I'm scared. You know, I'm kind of like the little boy was. This fellow was doing Sunday school work, and he stopped this little old boy, you know, he played alongside the road. He said, would you like to go to Sunday school with us? He said, no, sir. He said, well, look, we got a good program. We got a sandwich. We got a refreshment. And he said, we have a good time. And he said, we have Bible stories, and we just talk about the Lord. Would you sure you wouldn't like to go? He said, no. He said, son, he says, wouldn't you like to go to heaven? He says, no, sir. He said, are you sure? He said, I don't think I've ever met a young fellow that didn't want to go to heaven when he died. Oh, yes, he says, I'd like to go to heaven when I die. He said, I thought you'd picking up a load right now. Well, that's the way I feel, you know. I want to go to heaven, but not tonight. If I could put it off. You see, disciple. If you continue in my word, quiet time. Prayer, review, reading program. What's your reading program? Bible reading program. Well, this week, you can start, review, revitalize, and get you a good reading program and start hitting it. I remember one time old Doss was talking to me, and he said, Johnny, I had a problem. At that particular time, it was the girls. And the rest of the time that he talked to me, it was the same problem, you know. He said, you've had this problem a long time. I said, yes. He said, well, you probably won't get victory tonight, will you? I said, well, probably not, Doss. And he looked at me, and he lifted up my chin, looked right in my eye, and he said, Johnny, but you can start tonight. You know what I did? I started that night. I really did. I started that night. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Certain kind of disciples. Next mark of a disciple is found in John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Listen, all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. A new commandment I give unto you. When I was reading this, I thought, how could this be new? I thought that was the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is new about that? Well, it's contained in the verse. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, and here's your key, as I have loved you. How much did he love us? Well, he loved enough to die on the cross for us, didn't he? Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He loved us enough to forgive us. We find in Luke 17, the first few verses, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn to them and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Walt Hendricks, and I owe him this story. He says, if fella came to borrow his friend's car and he'd go shopping and he said, sure, mate, go ahead. And so he went down, he back in no time at all, and he banged up the right front fender. He's so embarrassed, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I banged up the front fender. He said, would you forgive me? He said, oh, sure. He said, everybody has accidents. He said, I didn't get my shopping done, but if I use the car, I'd finish. Oh, go ahead. He went down, and in no time at all, he'd come back and the left front fender was banged up. He come back and said, I guess this is my day. Man, I'm so embarrassed. He said, would you forgive me? And he said, Yeah, you know, Christian brother, you know, got to forgive me. Yeah, I forgive him. He said, by the way, the car is quite drivable. Could I finish my shopping? Peter said, Lord, seven times. Isn't that enough? You know, I don't think I could hack it seven times. When your kids do something the third time in a row, what do you say? I bet I've told you 1,000 times not to exaggerate. Huh? Yeah. By the way, it says in 1 Corinthians, don't keep statistics of evil doings. So if you do tell your kids, this is the 13th time I've told you, or the 6th time, or the 3rd time, what's that? That's against Scripture. Try it. You may remember it, but don't say it out loud. Forgiving. How forgiving are you? How forgiving am I? When you've done your best for someone, when you've worked hard for someone, a friend, relative, a brother, a sister, when you've looked after the old folks the best you could, and they begin to get a little bit senile, and now then every time you go it's just a drudgery, and you dread to call by phone or go by because they say bad things, and you're not looking after them, and you don't love them, and all such as that, can you forgive them? Can you and I forgive our children for rebelling and throwing over the principles that you and I have cherished? Can we forgive them? If we can, that's a new kind of love. That's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's a new kind of love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you, John. I really have. I've forgiven you of all your sins. I've forgiven you of your pride, John. I've forgiven you of your rebellion. I've forgiven you, John, of your anger. And for years you took out your anger on your wife on the mission field and other places, and you'd flip your lid and, and the only person you could get by with it was a dog or your wife. But I've forgiven you, and I'm asking her to forgive you, John. Now, can you forgive others? Can you forgive your daughter? You know? That's a mark of a disciple. Another verse I want to give you. By the way, on love, we choose whom we love. You don't fall in love. Ditches is what you fall into, or something else. We love whom we choose to love. Love is a way. Last verse in 1 Corinthians 12, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Love is a commandment, but love isn't what you fall into. Love is what you do, and it's described in 1 Corinthians 13. We're commanded to love our enemies. I don't fall in love with my enemies at all. But the Lord said that I should love them. Love is long-suffering. Can I be long-suffering toward my enemies? Yes. Toward my wife? Yes. Toward my children? Yes. Toward my friends? Yes. Toward my boss? Yes. The next verse is John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. There's two kinds of fruit to the Spirit. One is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But you don't have to go any place to bring forth that kind of fruit. That's a passive fruit. You can sit home in the living room and, you know, show that kind of fruit. But the kind of fruit that he's talking about here, bearing much fruit, could be found in John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit. Go verses have to do with missionary. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I hope this week, if you're a little reluctant or need any help on sharing your faith, I hope that you express that and ask questions, because there's nothing so releasing as being able to share your faith as a lifestyle with friends on the hospital bed next to you, or with the neighbor, or those with whom you work, and so on. You may not have the ability to go out on the campus and cold turkey and make contacts, but you can learn to share your faith as a lifestyle. You really can. And you can receive help. In fact, we're commanded to help one another and to teach one another this particular skill. Fruit bearing. The fruit of reproduction. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit. John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth much fruit. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. One of the things that holds up fruit bearing is dying to self. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Here's a little phrase I coined all by myself. You can have it. He died that we might live. That's fair enough, isn't it? He died on the cross that we might live. We die that he might live. He died that we might live on the cross. We die that he might live. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. That's positionally. Nevertheless, I live. I'm living here in the flesh. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn to John 14, and we'll go three verses, and I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does he mean? Well, surely he didn't mean the word hate like we hate, because hate's wrong. Hate's a sin. Some translation, love more than, but it's stronger than that. Did Jesus love his mother? Jesus had one special disciple that he had trained particularly to look after his mother. It couldn't have been Simon. Simon the Zealot, he'd been off practicing swords someplace. Could have been Peter, he was too impetuous. Might have been Andrew, but actually it had to be John. Because John had a tender heart. John was the only one that was affected enough, according to the record, that laid his head on Jesus' shoulder at the supper, you remember? It was John who had the personality to look after a woman. And Jesus had selected John long before. And on the cross of Calvary, he says, "Son, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son." Did he love her? He sure did. But he says, "The love I want you to have for me more than your love for your ma and pa is so far apart you could call it hate. I love my wife very, very much. I love my children. We're very close. We really are. Very close. I can do anything for my kids. And do. You know?" And the Lord said, "John, you really do love him, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do, Lord." "You love your boy, don't you?" "Yep, I sure do. He's so much like you. He's a big husky kid, loves God, gets out on a pagan campus, witnessing, sharing his faith, just challenges my soul." Jesus said, "John, I want you to love me so more than you love Jay. It could be called hate between you and Jay. It's so far apart." Next verse is 27. "And whatsoever doth not, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be thy disciple." You and I are going to have to pay a price to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the price is death. Death to self, a cross. The next verse is 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." I don't know how much money you got. I don't know about your possessions. I don't know about your position. But it's got to be put on the altar of Jesus Christ before you can be the kind of disciple he wants to be. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." John 8, 31, 32. John 13, 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." John 15, 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for this good time together. Father, lay upon our hearts what you have on your heart. Lord, continue to work with us. Forgive us where we've gone wrong. Lord, keep us from being heady and high-minded and proud. Lord, keep our eyes on you, realizing that each one of us have a new lease on life this evening. In Jesus' name.